Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord. Father, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we have to choose. We're going to finish up that, try to finish it up tonight, and then we're going to get into the next chapter in the booklet. In some of my notes, the last thing I think I told you last week, and I don't know if I gave it to you or not, and one of the things that Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And he was not saying that if you love me, you're going to let me control you. What he was saying was, he said, if you love me, it's going to show up in how you treat the things I told you that are important to me. So that's what he was basically saying. He said, if you love me, it's going to show up in your life, the things that I say that are important to me. One of the things that Jesus did, he gave, God said, I'm going to write my laws up on their heart. I'm going to put it in their heart. As he was teaching here, one of the things, he got on down here, and he made a statement in here, and so in that statement, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, and he was still talking. He was talking about this characteristics of a believer. So it had to be the characteristics of a believer because a sinner could not possibly do this. And in verse 44, he said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. He said, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that which despitefully use you. Despitefully. He said, despite. So they know what they're doing when they misuse you. And so that was the reason. He said, this is the character of a citizen of the kingdom of God. And he said, despitefully use you and persecute you. So now we know that there's no way possible in the natural can we do this. As soon as someone despitefully used me, we're going to want to, you know, turn on them the same way. We're not going to stand. But he's given us this characteristics that what we should be. So again, turn to Jeremiah. Chapter 30. And like I said, we should be operating in this new covenant now because we are citizens of the kingdom. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Here he says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 31. And he was, Jeremiah the prophet was prophesying what was going to happen. He said in verse 31, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he said, I'm going to put it in your hearts. I'm not going to have you to do this thing or try to remember what you need to do. It's going to be in your heart, so you'll be able to carry out these things I tell you. In this Sermon on the Mount, because of the kind of behavior that Jesus was describing here, it's impossible for any sinner to hope to exhibit, any sinner. There's no way a sinner can do these things that Jesus was talking about. Again, like I showed that scripture in 44, he said, pray for those who who pray for the enemies and love those who despitefully use you. A sinner cannot do that. Even, you know, we who are born again, you know, until we grow up and mature in the things of God. There's a reason for you telling us to do that. But until we grow up and become mature in the things of God, we cannot accurately do those characters that Jesus was telling us to do. He said, but sons and daughters will have access to an entirely new nature and supernatural grace. We have access to a supernatural grace. The Spirit of God has now come on the inside of us, and through God's grace, we can do those things that He tells us to do. We have access to this grace, and we have it by faith. Romans 5 and chapter 5, he began to tell us, Apostle Paul, he began to tell the church, we have access to this grace and this supernatural grace. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So by faith, again, we have to have faith that God has provided these things for us. Ephesians 2:8 said, we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So, you know, on one of the classes, I remember telling you to, you know, if you want to operate in the supernatural kingdom, then we have to begin to ask God for this grace so that we can carry out the things that God wants us to do and act the way God wants us to act. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit for us. He sent Him to us to help navigate through this supernatural kingdom. And when He told the apostles in Luke 24 and 49, He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father up on you. He said, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. So that He knew they could not do it until the Holy Spirit came and landed up on them so they could carry out that which God wanted them to do in the kingdom. So because he said, I need you to do that. And so I don't want you to leave. I want you to tarry. He said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued. So we have to be endued with this power from on high. And still, as the body of Christ, you know, we've seen some supernatural functionings. We've seen some supernatural acts, but we haven't even touched the surface. It's like a drop in the ocean, you know, compared to what God has provided for us and to us. And so until we continue to, you know, dig and study and grow in the things of God, we'll never get there. See, when God say tarry, He say tarry. He say be endued. He say be endued with that power, that every cell, every fiber of our being should be endued with power. I know when these disciples, after they got filled with the Holy Ghost, because they sat there and waited, and they was waiting about, went to the upper room, and they was waiting, you know, about 10 days or so before they got, the Holy Spirit came in. And so, but, you know, and I have discussions with my wife. I say, well, have we actually tarried long enough that we become endued with that power from on high? Because we should be able to speak to situations the way God told us. You know, He gives us these awesome scriptures. If you abide in me and my words, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So, you know, where is this? You know, we ask, we abide. And these things, you know, they don't manifest themselves. And so what we need to continue to grow and learn and mature in the things of God so we can begin to operate in the kingdom of God. We're starting God's government is being manifested back in the earth realm through our apostle. He's constantly pressing. He's constantly digging. You know, what's the next level? What's the next thing, God? And so, you know, God keep adding on. He keep putting on. You know, when someone is endued with something, and my analogy of an endowment is, and I probably have given this illustration before, is if you take a white piece of material and you take a dye and put into it, and if it's a red dye or a blue dye, and what happens is if you dye it, then that material is not going to be white anyway, but every fiber in that piece of material is going to be the same color as that dye. So that's where we should be as individuals. We're going to be endued with power from high. Every fiber, every cell of our being should be endued with the power of God. It should be like the disciples was when they walked about, even their shadows, people got healed because they were so endued with the power of God upon them. And that's the way, you know, again, as we mature in the things of God, that's what's going to happen to us. Let me give you a few more notes. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was simply describing how these new people would behave. Remember that the old covenant was an external covenant, a system of controls designed to keep sinners in line. They was not saved people. They was God chosen people, but they were still sinners, and because they had not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so they had to do certain things in order to come in line with what God wanted them to do. So it was a covenant designed to keep sinners in line. But the new covenant is an internal covenant for sons and daughters. And so we know we are sons and daughters because John 1:14 tells us, as many as receive him, do he give. Turn your Bible to so you can see it in the scripture. John 1:12, and it tells us, but as many as receive him, talking about Jesus, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so if we believe on his name, we got the ability to become sons of God and be just like Jesus was when he was on the earth. And so we still continually maturing and growing up. We also have the ability to be led of the Spirit. Again, he says the same thing about the Holy Spirit. He talked about Jesus. He talked about the Holy Spirit. He told us the Spirit was coming. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And verse 14, and this one, let me read a little bit further up. Let me go a little bit further. I begin to read verse 8 through 9. That's the same verse that our apostle tells us. This is one of the spiritual chapters in the Bible. So in Romans 8, verse 9, it says, but you're not in the flesh. We was talking about, you know, that's what the apostle Paul asked at Galatians. Who have bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of the law? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. He goes on to say, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's a big S. So the Spirit of God is you're walking in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's where it should be dwelling. That's where you see it going to put it in. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And again, that should take care of sickness and disease, because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. That's the word. You got the word. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. Those words should, as the Spirit of God comes in, he's going to bring those words to our remembrance. Those are containers of God's power in his word. They're going to take care of every promise. He's been teaching us about faith and grace and the promises. And so now I'm seeing some other things in it. So every promise that God has made to us, it's his words in his word. Those words, those promises is contained in God's power, so he can bring manifest that which he's telling us he's going to bring forth to us. And he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, live after the laws, live after these commandments, live after our own performances, the things that we think we can do, because we got supernatural help now that's going to help us to operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. And so the more we hear it and the more we think about it, the more we focus on it, the more manifestations are going to happen in our life. Remember what we say, the things that we focus on, they expand in our life. So we focus on these things, and the more we focus on them, the more expansion they're going to become in our lives. That's why, again, in the book of Joshua, that's why he told him, he said, this book of the law, he wanted him to focus on the law, on the things of God. He said, this book of law should not depart out of your eyes or out of your mouth, but you should meditate in them day and night. Joshua 1 and 8. He said, and you make your way prosperous and you have good success. So we are beginning to focus on that the Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of us. He's going to begin to expand and grow in us. We have this supernatural grace on the inside of us. And as we focus on it and begin to think about what God has provided for us through Jesus, everything that we need to operate in the kingdom, God has already did it for us. He did it for through Jesus on the cross. Everything. And so, again, until we grow up, Galatians 5 tell us, we can be Lord of all, but but if we're still children, we are still under bondage and tutors until time appointed. And so until we grow up and operate the way God told us to do, we're going to still be servants instead of lords, and so we're going to be just like children. He goes on and say, let me read a little bit further. He said, for if you live after the flesh, you should die. But if through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14 say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he's giving us two things here. We are children of God through Jesus Christ. We receive him. And then after we come into the kingdom, we must be led by the Spirit of God. And so then as we're led by the Spirit of God, whatever he tells us to do, then we become just like Jesus. And we can get that confession of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what he said about Jesus, because he had the Spirit of God in him. So we can do the same thing. And God said, these are my sons. So same thing he said about Jesus, he should be saying about us. These are my beloved sons and daughters whom I am well pleased. Why? They're doing God's will in the earth. They're manifesting God's glory in the earth. John 6:38 said, Jesus said, he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. That's what we should be as citizens of the kingdom. We should be ready to do the will of the Father and not our own will. Whatever he tells us to do, the Holy Spirit will tell us, and then we just carry out his will here in the earth realm. One of Jesus' manifestations, 1 John 3:8, say he was manifested in the earth. Satan came to kill, John 10:10, say he came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. But in 1 John 3:8, Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. That was why he was manifested in the earth realm. So he could do that. And so we should be here on the earth. As we mature, as we grow in the things of God, should be able to do the same things. Let me give you some more notes. But the new covenant is an internal covenant for sons and daughters who, because of their new nature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you be Christ, then are you a new creation? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have a brand new nature on the inside of us because we've taken on Jesus. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now his spirit is on the inside of us and we can operate like he did while he was here on the earth. And have access to the power of self-control and the Holy Spirit. We should be able to have self-control because the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the greatest things that a believer can have is the Holy Spirit on him. And when he think about doing something wrong, conviction should be able to come up on it. You know, our Holy Spirit, you know, Romans 8:1 tell us that there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But then the Holy Spirit, as soon as we attempt to do something, there should be a conviction from the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That's the purpose of it. And he gonna let you know. But then, you know, many times we bypass when he, you know, when that scratching come, we bypass it and go on do what we want to do. And what are we doing? We are getting back into the flesh and we're getting out of the Spirit. And so, you know, the greatest thing a believer can have. So God said, I set this thing up for you that you can walk in the kingdom. I've given you that supernatural help. The Holy Spirit is called our helper. And that's his purpose. He's to help us to walk through this supernatural kingdom. Because God wants us to receive everything that he has for us, that he's already provided for us. He gave Jesus himself that we can walk in this realm. We can have days of heaven right here on earth. And so if you just do those things that I tell you to do, you know, and stop trying to perform those things that you think you can do, which many of us are doing. Many of, you know, in the kingdom is trying to do, perform to get in right standing with the God, with the Father. And he's already provided it for us. Again, he goes on to say, and we have access to the power of self-control and the Holy Spirit. One of the things that Jesus was telling him, again, when they told him not to leave, he said, tarry in Luke 24:49. And so they was trying to figure out, you know, because they had not got to that level, you know, they had not got born again. And so when he told them, they went back to the flesh also. And over in Acts 1:8, turn to Acts here. And see, many of us still in the body of Christ. And so that's why we, you know, when it says those fivefold ministry gifts and why they was given for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of a son of God, until a mature man, until the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. That's where we should be going. When people see us, they should think about us just like those people. They was be amazed at the things that you do. They was amazed at Jesus. Because why? Some of the things that he was doing, some of the things that he was saying. And so it apparently, you know, it must be possible for us to get there. If otherwise, God would not have put it in his word that we can get there. And so here in Acts chapter 1, and again, I quoted Luke 24:49. Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It say, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. In the Sermon on the Mount, he was teaching there. He was, he had just finished doing signs and wonders and miracles. He had many people following him because of those signs and wonders and miracles. And then he went on to say, you know, you can do these same things if you begin to do this, you know, and he blessed is the man who thirsts and hungers after righteousness. You can begin to do the signs and wonders. So here in verse 2, he says, until the day which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So again, it was not a casual asking that he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. He commanded them, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. So he said, if you, you know, I'm not trying to control you, but if you love me, the things that I'm concerned about, you will also be concerned about. He goes on to say, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after his resurrection, he walked the earth, teaching the disciples, teaching others about the kingdom. This is how the kingdom operates. He did that for 40 days. And so he goes on to say, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. So it was not a casual accident that you tarry here. He commanded them that they should tarry there in Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the promise of my Father, which said, you've heard of me. And then he goes on and he tells about a baptism. He talks about water baptism, what John the Baptist was doing. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together and they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they went back. They got out of the spirit, went right back to the natural. They thought God was coming in. They were going to establish a natural kingdom up on the earth. But God was talking about a supernatural kingdom that he was reestablishing on the earth. We are part of that supernatural kingdom, and we should be acting like supernatural citizens because our Father is a supernatural God. And so we should be doing supernatural things that when the world look at us, we should be totally different, doing things that God has provided through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season, which the Father has put in his own power. And then verse 8 said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they were sitting there and they was tarrying. They waited. And when they got to, you know, Acts chapter 2, and they were sitting there in that upper room, and they say the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind and set upon each of them. And every one of them, every person. So it's for every believer to be filled with the power of God to operate in this kingdom. After you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're to be filled with that power. You're being endued with that power so we can do the works. He said, Jesus said in John 14, he said, if you believe in me, he said, the works that I do shall you also do, and greater works. Why? Because I go to my Father, and when I go to my Father, I'm going to send you a supernatural helper. Hey, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you so you can operate like I did when I was here on the earth. And so those are the things that as we are maturing and growing in the things of God, we find out that we do have supernatural help. We have to begin to rely on our supernatural help to help us to walk through this supernatural kingdom that God has provided for us. He goes on to say, talking about the new covenant and the internal covenant for sons and daughters, and we have access to the power of self-control and the Holy Spirit, and also the supernatural power to walk in righteousness. So we got help. Again, we got supernatural help. So to say, you know, I could not help myself, we have to grow into these things and learn. Turn to Titus 2. I saw an awesome scripture over there in Titus chapter 2. And again, like I said, we teach grace. We talk about grace, and we say we are unpunishable. We are unpunishable, but that's not what the side that we want to be dwelling on. We want to be dwelling on the side that we can walk in this kingdom of God without walking in holiness, walking in sanctification, walking in righteousness, just like God designed us to be, because we got the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We got supernatural help on the inside of us, and we can do this. Here in Titus 2 and verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The grace of God. So everybody has the ability to receive this supernatural grace from God. And there's only one thing they have to, confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in the heart, God raised him from the dead. And then they, once they do that, then that supernatural grace comes on the inside. So every man that's on the face of the earth has the ability to receive the salvation that God has provided through Jesus Christ. We all do it? No, it won't happen to everybody because they just won't believe. It's a teaching us that denies. So the supernatural grace is going to teach us, you know, on the inside. That's like, and that's that conviction that comes when you get ready to do something that you're not supposed to. It's going to teach us. It's going to convict us. It's going to put that scratch in there and tell us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the Holy Spirit, this grace that God has provided for us, as we're leaning on this grace, receiving it by faith, is going to help us to walk in the things of God the way he set it up. Again, I think about the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul said, you know, who was a murderer. You know, he used to kill people. But then when he got to the end of his journey, he said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. The grace of God helped him to walk through this supernatural kingdom here on earth so he could carry out God's will in the earth. So, again, God's grace is teaching us. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so the supernatural grace is on the inside of us to help us carry out God's will here on earth. There are challenges in learning how to walk in the Spirit. There are challenges because, you know, like I say, we grew up in a natural world. And so since we grew up in a natural world, though, it's a lot harder to come, you know, take those things off us than putting on, you know, Christ Jesus or walking in the Spirit. But why? Because we, like I say, we was trained in that, you know. And if you take a certain tree and you put it out there and you train it, it's supposed to grow up straight. But if you can train that tree to lean over and grow a certain way, or, you know, bend it over, and it'd be harder for it to grow back straight than it would be if you grew up straight from the beginning. And so since we was born in the natural, then we have to be trained and taught. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can walk the way God wants us to be. He said, but these are not the challenges we face when we are trying to keep the rules. They are the challenges of dying to ourselves and exercising our self-control so that we stay connected to the flow of God's grace that enable us to live sin-free lives. That scripture, Galatians 2:20, where it says, I'm crucified with Christ. That's what, you know, we can meditate that scripture, and eventually, as we meditate it, it become part of us. Again, turn to Luke chapter 9. Let's see. In Luke chapter 9, looking at verse 23, and again, there are things that we have to do as believers. And God, you know, he gave us this manual. He said, if you do it this way, then it's going to work this way. So here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and Jesus speaking again here, and Jesus said, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That means that on a daily basis, I take up what Christ Jesus had did for me on the cross. Not just sometime, not just on Sundays when I come to church between 11 and 1 o'clock. But on a daily basis. And that's many times. That's why we never reach that point that God wants us to operate in, because, you know, we are just doing it on that Sunday mornings. And most of us, you know, we come to church on Sunday, we hear a short sermon for an hour, and then we think we can operate in the kingdom. We think we can pray those awesome prayers and get those supernatural answers that we're expecting. And so, you know, again, the enemy is sitting there and, you know, wearing our lunch, you know, beating us down because why? We're trying to do it just for that 1 hour. It's not enough in it. He said, oh, they don't know nothing. And so since they don't know nothing, I can do what I want. He can deceive us. He can put sickness and disease on us. But once we learn the truth, and then, you know, we know what our rights are, then he can't put anything on us. He can, you know, he can't just deceive us in any way. Why? Because we have the truth on it. He said, goes on to say, he said, if any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And he goes on to say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And so when we go in and we forget about our own little ideas of what the kingdom should operate, we many of us have the idea of what who God is, but it's in the soul. You know, we're thinking about who God is. You know, I teach my my daughters, and I tell them, you know, they all got degrees and from college, and I tell them, I say, look, many times what people try to do is they when they talk to people, they try to receive God in their natural mind, and God has to be received in the spirit. And so we go in, we get education, we get degrees, and then they go in and they try to read God and know who God is. It don't happen that way. See, God has to be revealed to you who God is, and it has to be revealed to them. They're not gonna read this Bible and God gonna, you know, tell them who he is. That's why the Apostle Paul, you know, in that prayer in Ephesians 1:17, he said that you would give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know, you know. And so we can know who God is by asking God and having him to reveal himself to us and not trying to read him from a book. So, and many of us, again, is trying to get God in our understanding and not in our spirit. So, and like I said, he set this thing up so good for us, and he laid it out. But, you know, it's not on the surface. He had to go in and get it out and find out, you know, this is what God, this is how you want to operate. You know, Jesus said it's like, you know, this great pearl. And so you're going to dig and dig until you find it. So, and that's what you're doing right now. You're sitting here digging. You're sitting here, you're learning about the things of God, how to operate in the kingdom of God. And again, it don't happen overnight. You know, you can get that in your head. It ain't going to happen overnight. Just because you sit here and listen to Reverend John here teach on the culture of honor, it just don't happen that way. It's a constantly digging, you know, and a constantly growing in the things of God, maturing in the things of God. Mark 4:26, once I got that scripture under my belt, you know, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and sleep night and day, that seed spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. He said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's not an immediate thing. It's a process that we go through. And, you know, and it's a constant training, you know. You know, it's a journey, you know. And you get on this journey and it becomes exciting to you. You know, things begin to manifest. And you know you didn't do them. You know, only God could have done it, you know. And so, you know, the more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it. And so, and that's what God is teaching us. We're maturing in the things of God so we can operate in the kingdom of God. Again, the challenge of dying to ourselves and exercising our self-control so that we stay connected to the flow of God's grace that enables us to live sin-free lives. The law that rules the kingdom, rules in the kingdom, is the law of Christ. The law of love, not the law of rule keeping. And when we line our lives up with love, the kingdom of love manifests in our lives. Again, God has given us, he told us, we can operate in his love. He put his love in us. Romans 5:5. Make that your meditation scripture for this class. He said, hope, make it not ashamed. For the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So again, that's, you know, he's letting us know that we can't do it on our own. You can't do this God kind of love on our own. But we need the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, what am I saying? Everything that we do in the kingdom of God, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us to carry it out. And so as we grow and mature, we're going to learn that we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to operate in this kingdom. Even the love part. Even, you know, even if you thirst and hunger after righteousness, you can't do it in the natural, because something going to always draw you off. You're going to find ways to draw you off. And so, you know, we are studying, and right now, you know, I find myself as myself personally, you know, I normally don't watch TV that much, but now I find myself when I get home, the first thing I want to do is turn on TV and watch MSNBC and CNN, watching all the things that's happening in this natural world, in our, you know, natural government. You know, even though I'm watching, you know, I should be teaching my supernatural government. I just had to, you know, force myself and ask for grace to, you know, get away from it. You know, because, you know, if you get, it's like, it's watch, you know, when I was growing up, everybody used to watch soap operas. So they would go home in the evening from class and they, you know, they would just turn on the soap opera. They watch soap operas, you know, half the day gone watching soap operas. I've gotten that way with watching, you know, this news. And some of it is just repeats. Some of them keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. But I still keep finding myself, you know, wanting to watch it. And so if we find ourselves in the Word of God that way, imagine how we would grow in the things of God. You know, and we can easily, like I say, we can easily be detoured. And so, you know, the enemy tried to detour you. That's the way he detoured. And, you know, I know the king's heart is in God's hand. He can turn it any way which he wanted. But I still said to him, watch this stuff. So I just, you know, I told myself, I said, turn it off. So I just grabbed the remote and I flipped it off. I said, I'm going to get my book and I'm going to read my book. You know, 15, 30 minutes later, I'm back, got the TV back on, trying to watch this stuff. So, y'all pray for me that I can turn it off sometimes. Amen. So, Paul says, don't love, you don't have anything. No life in the rules. If you have a relationship with Jesus and love isn't showing up in your relationship with people, then you don't... I have no idea what you have, because if you're operating in love, that relationship should show up when you're operating with people. We're talking about the culture of honor. So, and again, we who are spiritual in meekness help them restore themselves. So that's all part of it. Then I don't know what you have. If you cannot cultivate a heart-to-heart relationship and practice intimacy with people. I noticed this week on Wednesday night, see, the Spirit of God give it to our apostle, then immediately he does it. On Wednesday night, we're sitting up in the training in the Word, and he pulled out a prayer. Now, both of these people have been in the congregation, I know at least 15, 20 years, and he asked one person, he said, do you know this family over here? What they say, we all in the same congregation. We should know, at least, you know each other, know each other by name. And they did not know each other. And so he called them out and he said, if someone in the congregation that you do not know, go over and introduce yourself and let them know who you are. Can we be one in unity, in the spirit, if we don't know who we are? And so we all have to be one. So he called it out. He said, that's part of our growth. He said, you go over there and you introduce yourself. And then he found out that there are many others in the congregation that's been together that do not know each other. You know, he found out the hunger was there when everybody began to introduce themselves and speak to each other, and we all become part of that same community until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. He goes on to say a little bit more. He said, and when we don't know who God is, we don't know his love and how his love worked. Many people in the kingdom again, I'm learning so much now. And one of the things that like the fear of God, for instance, we've been taught the fear of God from the wrong end of the fear of God. You know, a natural fear, like a natural fear. We've been taught about the wrath of God more so than the goodness of God, the fear of God, the things that he do by fearing God. And so as we hear more, and this apostolic anointing expands more. I mean, we're growing. We are maturing. We are growing in the things of God, but we are learning so much more. It is becoming accelerated, the things that God is revealing to us because of apostolic government God has put in this earth realm and for us to operate in. You know, and so we went through periods of lowness, but now God is accelerating, and the things that he wants us to know, he is accelerating in that. And so, again, we got our meditation scripture for the class. We all know what that is. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We thank you, Father, that we are no longer just hearers of your word, but because of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.